Welcome to MMA. It's not mixed martial arts, John. It's my millennial answers.
You got the questions, I've got the answers.
Exactly. So what we're going to do is we're going to try and put out a little bit more content just to help you and encourage you along the way. We're going to call it MMA, My Millennial Answers, because we get heaps of questions asked to us from our community, and we want to answer those questions. Now, before we get started, at the time of recording, it is September, at the start of September.
Spring.
And we have just launched Subscription September, so easy way to find what subscriptions you're paying for and not using. So check your bank account statements for August.
As you go.
That's horrendous. I had two Amazon Prime subscriptions different email addresses. Check iTunes and Google Play. Cancel something you don't use. So I've just cancelled two Amazon Primes. Don't use it.
And they don't ring you and tell you you're not using it.
No, it's unbelievable.
Mm.
Challenge your friends to do this. So in the Facebook group, there's some tiles that you can put in your story or in your Instagram feed. And then share it, tag us, and tell us what you've cancelled. Now, there was a young lady today. She cancelled the New York Times subscription that was $28 a month.
Wow.
I don't even have one of those.
New York Times.
I know. So that's crazy. And one of our other listeners, Charlie, she cancelled four subscriptions and it was over $1,500 per year of stuff she wasn't using.
It's amazing, isn't it?
So Subscription September, get on it, jump in the Facebook group, grab the tiles, put in your Instagram story, tag us, tell your friends. Let's get people saving money.
Love it. I just negotiated my Foxtel subscription down to $10 per month. Yeah.
Well, is that just for the sports only?
It's sports in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not bad, is it?
No, it's good. These MMA episodes, they're not really a structured episode. They're a bit loose. They're for our community, not really trying to impress anyone or anything like that.
No.
Not that we are anyway.
No.
And we're just answering questions. So Jake writes in and asks, and John hasn't ever heard these questions until right now. Sorry, John.
Same. It doesn't surprise me in any way, shape or form.
Jake asks, I'm considering changing my uni course, but it means I'll be locked into uni until age 25 and a 50 grand debt. Is it worth sticking it out for the time to get into, to get industry experience and a degree, or should I work full time and build skills on the side?
Off the bat, I would say if you're passionate about what you're studying for, then I'd say push through.
Yeah. So, okay, so it means changing uni courses. So the fact that you're considering changing uni courses means that the current one that you're doing isn't hitting your sweet spot. Would that be a fair comment?
I suppose, or maybe it's a time thing. I don't know. He's clearly thinking about how old he'll be when he finishes.
Yeah, and I mean, that's fine that you'll be 25. The hex debt, I don't really care about, because the best investment you can make ever is in yourself.
Yeah, totally.
And
but I would, and I'm just reading between the lines here, if he's thinking, well, I'm too old by the time I finish my degree, but it's a degree that you'll love and follow through in that industry for the next 30 years potentially, then who cares if you're 25?
Yeah.
Just do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you're not enjoying the course, you don't think you'll enjoy that particular role,
yeah,
get out.
Yeah. Totally. So, no, I think the fact that you'll be 25, I know, so you might be 20 years old now or 21. I can guarantee you, and John can back me up on this because he's as old as time itself. When you're 25, you're still young looking back.
It doesn't feel
like it.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
That's right. And I'm younger now than I was 20 years ago.
Exactly. So, I would say you lost a lot
more
weight. Hang around you. Yeah, you lost a lot of weight, that's for sure. So, yeah, Jake, I think
you're just saying I was fat.
Yeah, a little bit. Just festively plump. So, Jake, I just think, number one, we unpack this. It's not going to be old when you're 25. Mm. Run to something, not from something. If you even change and you don't like that, it's okay.
Yeah.
Don't keep doing something just because you're allowed to make mistakes and recover.
Yeah, and don't listen to your naysayers that are maybe knocking on your door trying to tell you otherwise.
Yeah. This is a very interesting one, and Tace asks, how to develop equity without engaging interest-based systems? This is a big challenge for faith-based communities. Now, I know a lot of our Islamic listeners would understand this question. Without interest, I mean, it's just going to be a slow game.
Mm.
It might just mean that you are renting and saving in the bank.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to put a doomsday on it, but it's very hard to not borrow money. And
it's not impossible, though.
It's not, but you need to have a lot of things go your way in terms of high income, living very frugally. It's a slow burn.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it? Like
it is. And realistically, I think it's a very long-term strategy. Like if you want to own your home and buy it with cash without having a mortgage and interest, you're going to be renting probably for the next 25 years.
Yeah.
Which means, and depending, I don't know your age, but that might be pumping superannuation, capping that out each year to get the market growth.
Yeah.
And the tax efficiencies along the way. So then when you do retire at age 60 or when you've got access to that super money, then you can withdraw it as a lump sum and purchase a house with cash.
Yeah. I'd be Googling leveraging and compound effect.
Yeah, but if it's against your religion and way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do?
Well, one stiffs the other, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's funny, like I'll be first to say I do not know much about the Islamic faith.
No.
Are you allowed to receive interest? Because if, but you know what it actually does, John? This is interesting. So I wonder if the whole ethical investing is also a big deal.
I was going to say, that was what I was thinking just now.
So where are you going to invest your money? Are you allowed to invest into gaming or, I don't know.
Yeah, and I would say no.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you're not an Islamic scholar, so.
No.
All we can say is it's possible, but it is a slow game.
Mm.
And as you said, John, you've got to live frugally. It's a very philosophical thing, this, John. There's probably people of that faith who, you know, it's like everything. You've got the hardcore conservative people of every different faith.
Yep.
And then you've got the kind of moderate and then you've got the loose.
Mm.
I would like to think you could maybe sit down with your leader or someone like that and just have a look about, I get the whole thing, but it's like, yeah, maybe we not use interest to grow our wealth, but can we use it for our own family home? Because I don't know.
Exceptions to every rule, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really hard to negotiate.
How hard you lean to the left versus
the
right.
Anyway. And can you sleep at night knowing that you've done that? But I would say like any faith-based thing, you start using guide sticks on one area of your life of that faith, bloody hell, you better make sure you use it for every other one.
Yeah, that's right.
It's really tough.
It is. And the other thing too is understanding what you're potentially missing out on by making that decision. And that's what I think's the key is, well, if I don't go down that path of using interest or having interest coming in or going out.
What did they call it back in the thousands of years ago? Usury?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's usury, I think. They're pronounced. Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it. So, yeah, that's a tough one.
What could you miss out on? So
yeah, very tough. And good luck with that.
Mm.
Dylan asks, my partner and I have about 35% for a deposit on a house. Should we throw all that on the deposit or just use 20% and keep the rest in an offset account?
Correct. Next question.
Okay. There you go, Dylan. So let's
only exception that isn't if it's an investment property, we'd say, well, maybe you could only use 10%.
Yeah.
And have the other 25% doing something.
So let's do some numbers live on the fly. We're going to assume that it's a $500,000 purchase, just for those at home, times 35%. That's 175K. So let's just pretend that Dylan and his partner have 175K and a $500,000 purchase. Dylan's asking, do we put the whole 175 into the mortgage and borrow the balance? Or do we just put the $100,000 in and keep the 75K in an offset account?
Mm. Now, the disadvantage, and the banks may give you a better rate if you put down 30%.
Yeah.
But it might be 0.3%.
Yes.
I think the disadvantage of putting all that money in and not being able to get it out straight away far outweighs the 0.3% that they might be saving by putting down a 30% deposit.
Yeah, because you could turn around 10 minutes later and throw that $75K into an investment property.
Yeah.
But then again, what's the strategy for your life, Dylan? Is it like, we've got $175K to put towards this $500,000 home.
Mm.
We want to start a family. Our goal over the next 5 to 7 to 10 years, and they're good at saving, or they've, we'll assume they're good at saving. They might be like, look, we want to actually plant ourselves here for the next 20 years.
Yeah.
It might be the strategy that we just want to pump the house, and that's actually okay, John.
It is, but even in that case, I would still put it in the offset where you've...
Just to give you options.
Give you choices and
have your
buffers.
And if you are wondering, we won't have time now, what an offset account is and how it works, just Google Glenn James, what is an offset account, and I think you'll find a blog post.
Number one.
But that's a great position, Dylan.
Well done, Dylan.
Candace asks, how does she deal with unexpected medical expenses?
Insurance?
That's, well, yes, you'd want to make sure your health insurance is covered.
Emergency funds.
Yeah. So I think that's the main thing there. I would actually like to phrase this, Candace, unexpected expenses.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it's medical in the middle. It doesn't matter if it's car excess in the middle. It doesn't matter if your partner lives in France and you may need to go back up there at drop of a hat for an emergency. I think it is, how do we plan for unexpected stuff in our life? So an emergency or an unexpected expense just causes a small hiccup, not catastrophe.
No. It's the Candace rule.
That's right. So what we need to do, we just need to make sure that we always have an emergency fund in place. We like to say 3 months worth of expenses as a minimal. Now, I will say, Candace, if you've asked that because you've got some ongoing medical needs and stuff can come up, you might choose to have a bit more of a fatter emergency fund.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely specific to you, isn't
it? So basically, it might mean based on your expenses – and this is, I'm talking to the same person who's got relatives overseas, right?
Yeah.
It might mean that your 3 months worth of expenses is just, so as an example, if your emergency fund worth of 3 months of expenses comes out to $16,000, or your comfort level, if you do have relatives overseas, if you do have a medical issue, if you are prone to something, whatever it is, you might go, look, we're just going to round it at 20K.
Yeah.
And just have that extra bit of buffer.
Yeah.
And then you would want to make sure, if possible, to have private health insurance.
Mm.
And then you would also want to make sure you've got your personal income protection in place.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you've got all those, then pretty much there's not much
that's
more
you
can do, right?
And, you know, John, you've just got to control what you can control, because life is a risk.
Yeah.
I just crossed your... the main road here to come to your office.
Yeah.
Those pedestrian lights, they take forever.
They do take forever. And I've
are you going to complain to them?
Skip them illegally a few times.
So I can only control pressing the button, for example.
Mm.
I can't control when I cross if a truck swipes by and hits me.
Mm.
But I'm not going to major on the minor of that small risk of happening.
No, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, look, in Candace's situation, if she's single, there's only one thing go wrong. Well, there's only one person to worry about in her life. Whereas if you're married with two kids, then you've got four chances of something happening to four of you, right?
Yeah.
So your buffer might need to be a little bit higher.
And that's right. Personal finances, it's so personal.
Yeah.
And you just have to have some type of guide for your life. And if that means you will sleep more comfortable with 20 grand as opposed to 16 grand, that's okay. And realistically, a lot of you listening, you might be having a stroke at us even saying $16,000. You might, like, if you, to save $16,000, that could be a huge campaign for you to save that type of money.
Yeah.
But we always recommend, before you do anything, become debt-free.
Yeah.
Have an emergency fund. Even if that takes 2.5 years, you'll be able to work on your savings muscle. You'll be able to get your systems and processes in order.
Mm.
Then in 2 years, there'll always be a house to buy, won't there, John?
Always.
There'll always be shares to buy.
Always next week.
But you know what, John? There'll always be FOMO.
Yes.
So don't listen to, just run your own race.
Yeah. And I was chatting to someone this morning about do I create an emergency buffer before I create a deposit for property? Like, well, you can do them both at the same time, but your situation is what you're prepared to risk, I suppose. So, yeah, there's no one answer to that.
And we'll finish with Jasmine. Possibly how to manage your money when relocating to a new country. Well, the concepts of money management is exactly the same wherever you are. You want to make sure you've got a system set up. You want to make sure you're living on less than what you earn.
Yeah.
You want to make sure you're not getting screwed on rent. So you're not spending more than 30% of your net take-home income.
Yeah.
But in terms of the mechanics, there was some chat in the Facebook group. I think there's a company called TransferWise or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't looked into it, but I think if you're looking at that to get currency up overseas, you could use a thing like that. Now, if you had $5 million, John, to move overseas, well, one, you'd be going to a wholesale Forex trader, so we'll calm that down. If you had 100 grand in your bank and you wanted to move that money overseas, what I would suggest is instead of doing it all in one go, maybe do it over 6 months.
Yeah.
So split that up.
For what reason?
So you're getting then the average price of the currency.
Okay.
So instead of doing 100 grand tomorrow and then the currency falls and it just costs you 4 grand or 10 grand, split it up over 6 months, and then you'll average the currency rate over 6 months.
Yeah, okay. And would you leave some funds in an Australian bank account just in case you decided to want to come back?
Yeah, I mean, if you were a resident of another country and you've moved here to Australia for 5 years and now you're moving back home and never coming again, probably clean all that up. If you are moving up to, you know, marry a partner or something overseas, and Australia, you're a resident and a citizen here at the moment.
Yeah,
sure. You might leave 5 grand in an account that has no fees because you will be visiting.
Yes.
And I will say when you are relocating overseas and you have superannuation, if you are an Australian citizen and resident, you cannot take your super with you until you reach preservation age. So my friends that have moved to the States, they can't take their super with them. You know why, John?
Because they're living in the States.
No.
Why?
So what was happening, people would move overseas.
And use it all.
Use their super.
Yeah.
And then go, okay, we're done now. Move back to Australia to retire and mooch off the age pension.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, though, isn't
it? If you're a temporary worker here, and I know I helped a guy in Columbus that I randomly met in a coffee shop who had worked in a cafe in Newtown for a year. Yeah. He had some super. And he could actually move it because he wasn't a resident here.
Yeah. So if I went and worked in America for 5 years and then came back, can I bring that super back in?
I don't know the American laws, John.
Yeah. But in Australia, would I be able to do the reverse?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I helped the guy do who I randomly met.
Yeah.
He's like, I just worked at Newtown for a year.
Yeah.
And we had to do a declaration and then transfer the super out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I worked in the UK for 12 months. Maybe I've got some super sitting there.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, that's all we've got time for today on MMA, Mixed Martial Arts. I mean, My Millennial Answers. And keep the questions coming.
Yeah.
Throw them up in the group. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.